Hello and welcome to Pondering Popper. We took a little bit of a break and we're coming in with the man, the myth, the legend, Hamuda. How's it going, man?
Guys, how are you? Doing fine. Getting things better here in my city in Brazil. Despite that, doing some good results in Magic, and that's very important for me in this moment.
Right. So if anybody isn't aware, Brazil's currently having large flooding issues, and a lot of people are displaced from their homes. Alexander Weber of the PFP put out a link to donate, so I'm sure everybody would really appreciate that if anybody can support, because, you know, we want to be one worldwide community. We don't want to see you guys having all those problems.
Yes, thanks. We really appreciate that.
But, I mean, on the lighter news, you recently top one, as you like to say, the Popper Challenge yet again. And this is part of the mystique of not only the Goblin combo deck, but also Hamuda. It a couple of times you've kind of disappeared from Popper and then just come back and won again, always with goblins, it seems. And I was trying to look through your history. You play a bunch of different formats: Modern, Pioneer, Popper, Standard. But a lot of that is because you're looking to actually get tickets and convert them to cash and then use that as supplementing your income.
Yes, that's true.
So is this your only job?
Yes, I'm full-time grinder on MTGO. I do to the stream for Liga Magic here in Brazil. That's a website with a team for streaming, so I get some income from that too. And recently I'm getting some money doing the sideboard that helps me a lot, that I don't know, specialist with the deck, I think. So
yeah, I think one of the things everybody is always wondering is like, oh, how do you sideboard with this? And if you have all that experience, it definitely is something that you should keep pushing out there, because even Besu Degeya, Baiko, as I like to say, he said that your sideboard guide was very good, and we can link that in the description. But on that challenge that he said that, I believe you guys like both top eighted or came in first and second or something.
Yeah, he's a very good player in Pauper. And I think any deck that he picks that is well positioned for the week or the day, he will be doing some good result.
Yeah.
So that's what happened in that day. It was like in the day after, the deck was already aimed like many mono reds. So that was I don't remember if he changed. I remember to say to him like, oh, tomorrow as we both top two, like with Goblins combo, might be many players like trying to aim, and actually happened. I even didn't play with Goblins, right? And he did. I think he top eight. He still top eight with Goblins in the following day. So he's a very good player.
So when I think about this deck, for some reason, whenever I play against it, it feels like I have no chance. But then when I'm trying to pilot it, it feels like I have no chance as well. So there's got to be a disconnect there, right? Like, I think that's the thing that makes this deck and your success with it seem so mythical, basically, at least to me, that most people just cannot even wrap their head around how to play this deck. Do you see that from other folks? Like, do they ask you questions and just seem really confused?
Yeah, so it's funny. Of course, we have different level of skills and learning. And and like I sold some guides, and actually some people, and in these guides I have people have videos of me playing replays.
Oh wow!
Some games, because I think the important thing of this deck, at least, it's not the ins and outs, because they are kind of narrow. Because as you said, when you are playing against, seems impossible. When you play with it, seems impossible to win, because it's not about the cards that you the choices, if the side in and side out, but as how you navigate different scenarios, because there is a lot of different scenarios, even though it seems like it's one thing that you might change the play and can make you win the game. So those videos help you a lot with that.
Wow.
And people say to me, "Oh, I didn't know that you can win by attacking your opponent with two choos." Like, of course. So it's a simple thing. Like, you can attack your opponent with your creature. It's not only about combo. And some people say like, "Oh, you win a lot by just hitting. You don't combo. I stall the game with my bad creatures."
Yeah.
And hope to and like
well it seems like it's similar to something I heard on Limited Resources, where it's like the threat of activation or the threat of combo, it's always like looming over the opponent, so they have to play they have to play in a way that doesn't give them the most success, because they're always having to work around the option of you just going off. So you have like seemingly a little bit of leeway to, you know, do a couple of different things and pressure them with their 2/2s, or, you know, maybe sneak something in. Like, you're not even, oh yeah, the one makeshift munitions, like you put that on the table. They're like, "Oh, well, he might still have first day of class."
Yes. It's like in terms of the Splinter Twin situation, it's not two cards, but you always like afraid of, he might have. And it's funny, because there are a lot of players that don't play around.
You find that not playing around it when they just jam right into you, do you think that's like harder to play into? Because they're like no fear, fearless people, and you just like are actually trying to draw it?
They think, if you have it, you have it. Because it's kind of hard he has to have like three cards. to be honest, only one card is hard to have, that is the first day of class. The other ones are kind of easier to, they are like, easier to get, because they are the same card, like in the other video I seen, like Matron is the all card, right? It's Demonic Tutor for goblins, right?
Yeah.
So the main problem in the last result, a guy replied the result like, how do you make to always draw first day of class, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he said that. I don't know.
Heart of the cards.
Yes, heart of the cards. and I always try to sometimes to keep bad hands with first day of class, because I think the other cards are easier to draw.
Mm.
So
what are you looking for in an opener? You're looking for first day of class and some ability to draw cards, like Deadly Disputes and stuff?
Yes. Yeah, usually if there is no combo, like Putrid Goblin, Skurk, and First Day of Class, I try to have the Ichor and Deadly Disputes. And the other dispute, it's very good too. So,
right, Fanatical Offering. Fanatical Offering makes a map token. And so you're playing 6 dispute effects plus 1 Faithless Looting. And then 4 Ichor Wellspring and 2 Chromatic Stars. So you really have 10 draw twos in the deck. as well as Faithless Looting, which is sort of like a draw four. And
yeah,
it's sort of at attention because when you're actually going off, you're making only red mana, so you have to find ways to get black mana, which is that why you're playing Impulsive Pilferer?
First one, it is important for that because, yeah, and when you are combo, rarely you will need to matron for it, so you can do black mana and like a nerf, a goblin. Like Dark Dweller is in your graveyard and you don't know how to generate black mana for your nerf. And so the first Pilfer can do some work. And the second one is like a choice of mind for trying to jump early game or trading with 1/1s for the mono red. So I think that we have some flex slots in the deck. And people ask, like, there is no definitely stock list, right?
Right.
And I don't think that's the case. I don't think in the Pauper there is a stock list, right? Always, you are always changing cards in Pauper. We can see like 2 or 1 week ago, Mono Red was not being played, right? And in 1 week after, well, a lot of Mono Red. Right. I'm talking about challenge, right? In the leagues, I think Mono Red is always there, but in challenge, people were not, I don't know if was not playing or not having good results.
Yeah,
but I didn't face a lot of Mono Red, so I thought, oh, there is no Mono Red, so it's my chance of to get better results.
Well, it seems that Mono Red was very successful, and it's been highly prevalent for like 3 weeks in a row at this time. The first week, it was like 50-ish%. The next week, it was like 55% win rate. Then this last week here, it was like 40-something percent win rate. And I think that people just slowly adapted to slamming a lot more sweepers in their main deck. So then if you can get out of the first couple of rounds, you're probably less likely to see Mono Red, especially this past weekend, and get there. But you're saying that Mono Red is a bad matchup for you?
It's the worst with Affinity, but I don't expect to face Affinity. I don't know why people... I like to play with Grixis Affinity, but it seems like a worse BG Gardens when I...
Interesting.
It seems like...
I guess that at this point, yeah, it is... It's the same, doing the same thing as Gardens, where you have all the dispute effects, but Gardens also has really good board wipes and the initiative.
Yes, that's a very, very good ability to win the game. So I think the difference is the Aitros from Affinity, and BG Garden players are like playing more Duras, I think. I think they were already playing Duras, but they add more Duras, so trying to compensate the Hydras against some combo involving red. So I think that's it. Mono Red and Grixis Affinity.
And then the rest are good matchups?
I think it's how you play. Mainly the UX decks, they are not easy, but if you play really well, I think you always need to counterplay them. Like, you have to bait, you have to know the right time, you have trying to stall the game as the... You have to play like you're not that you are Affinity, but when you know you have more raw draws than them.
Right. So you just need to continue to buy your time and stay alive, and then go over the top of them all at once. And
if you are playing like against fairies, especially Tutor is hard, so you need to bait because and try to to having a window to play your one makeshift or trying to draw more cards. Like bait with a Skirk, if he spell stutter, okay, you try to do your Ike or dispute something else. But if he didn't counter with spell stutter, you just pass because you don't want to him to counter with, so, I don't know, spell pierce, counter spell, dispel, so many cards.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
Will take. And the cards that stands out for these matches that were bad, but now I kind of even is of course Mesmeric Fiend. The card is really strong against them.
But how often are you playing Mesmeric Fiend and sacrificing it? Does that happen most of the time?
I don't know if it's most of the time because usually the first one against those deck, it's 4 mana, so it's not. It's a lot of mana, and they usually can interact with counter spell. So the first one, I think, is to see their hand and let it on the field. If it kills, you can unnerve or even dispute in response if you have the chance. So I don't think I against those counter decks like Fams, even Tron, I don't think I dispute in response. If I have the chance, I will, of course, but against decks that can counter and they have access to it, I don't think I dispute in the moment I play the Fiend. But against, of course, BG Gardens, you just play and sack. He can't do anything. So it's very important.
That makes sense. I was listening to some people talk about using Mesmeric Fiend in Legacy, and they're saying that it's kind of like a hand check, but it's also really good against a removal deck because they have to use the removal on it, and then you get to resolve it, or like it's kind of like a double duress. You can see what's going on. And just like the ability to see your opponent's hand is very, very important in this kind of deck where you sort of know what to play around.
And even if you don't sacrifice in response, if your opponent have 2 removal spells, you know one might be on the Fiend. So it's one less removal for your combo pieces. Sure. So it's not that bad. It's not that bad. And having access to a nerf is the perfect sequence for what happens with your creature, you know? Like, if you kill your own creature with dispute, you can unnerve. If he kills, you can unnerve. So it's always good to have the access for it in the game, right?
That makes sense. So one of the things that I noticed about your deck is that you're playing a Singleton Majuka Bog. Is that just kind of like because it's free and then sometimes you get people with it? Because it can't really be your main plan.
Well, the Bazooka Box have won some games for me because it's a singleton, but you can actually bounce it. So I count as pseudo 3 Bazooka Box, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
I can bounce, and some games it do some work, especially against blue black Tavor that might be harder than blue face because they are faster.
That's true, and they also have they have like instant speed interaction for your stuff and a big clock.
Yeah,
as well as all the Hydro Blasts, you know. I mean, the fairies, even if they're just plopping onto the table, it's not like they have a large clock.
Yeah, the clock's important. So I don't know, some players know how to mill well and they do like 2, 3, 5, 5s on turn 3 and most kind of unbeatable for many decks, right? 3, 5, 5s on turn 3, it's very hard to compete with access to snuff out.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's why I think this one Bojuka Bog does some work. even against like Blood Fountain decks or Mirror or Dredge. Dredge is already a good matchup, but I don't know. The Bojuka Bog might do something. I think it might be bad at some place because it's a tapped land. But usually it didn't how can I say,
didn't impact the tempo that much, so it's like kind of
it didn't impact the tempo. I think Pilfer is doing a really good job on that because it's like a Rite of Flames most of the time. So Pilfer, I count him as a Chromatic Star, but at same time, Rite of Flames, because if Skurk is two mana, it adds artifact for Karkalan Shaman. It adds two foods for the disputes, right? Because you can dispute it, and then you can dispute it the treasure token. So I think the card is doing some really good stuff on that. In you have more mana, even you are playing some tapped lands that might, as you said, impact your tempo.
Speaking of Karkalan Shaman, I noticed that it was just a singleton, and I was like, how can you possibly get away with that? And now it just clicked that it is a goblin. You can search it with Goblin Matron.
Yeah, and even you can search it with Matron. In this last list, I had a second one, because sometimes Goblin Matron is slow, because you don't have time to, like, 3-mana Matron, and your opponent is doing, like, okay, Kudota, Bushwalker, take 8, and Karkalan is already bad because you are low in life if his other creatures, right? Sometimes, most of the time, it's more than 8 damage, but you don't have time, so I think I wanted to have Karkalan in my hand already, so that's why I added a second one.
Makes sense.
And it was funny, I met in the second one, in the first match of this challenge, in that challenge, first round I faced the Boggles, and the second Karkalan was really good. I opened with one, and like in the two first turns I draw the second, so he couldn't play the game, right?
Very nice.
I didn't need. So the card kind of get other decks. And that's, I wouldn't play without one. I see people didn't play with it, and I don't know why. I don't understand why.
Well, I can understand because it's going to wipe your board too, so that sort of makes sense to be afraid of doing that. But I think that probably just takes some tight play and like specific patterns that people aren't recognizing. So speaking of Bogles in round one of the challenge, do you think that you could take us through what happened in the recent first place? Like all throughout your rounds? Or do you remember that or no?
Yeah, the first one I played Bogles, that was, I think it's a good matchup, but sometimes it's like the two decks, like it's 3 cards. You is Skurk Putrid Goblin first day, and he is Bogles, any Rancor, and any Pump Effect, right?
Right.
So it's kind of like, they have more outs because they have the Armadillo Cloak Rancor. So the good thing of our deck that we have good interactions. We have Mesmeric Fiend, Durus, Karkalan, and even I think I put, I don't think I was playing with Breath Weapon, but the discards effect were very good to stall the game. Because you don't need to like try to keep with the combo in your hand. If you have some interaction, you can try to interact with him. I think I kept a hand with Karkalan and no and no pieces, I think. What I can recall, I thought like, okay, this Kraklan gonna stall the game, and that's it. And it worked out and worked it out. So I think we have good chances against it. And I faced in the following match was Blue Black Face. I remember to be. My opponent didn't play really well, I think. He played really, because I was trying to stall the game, and at some point he kind of played very aggressively, and that made me resolve my disputes. I was always waiting to resolve my disputes in like 2-3 turns. In both games was 2-0. He played aggressively with his cards. Like, I played a Putrid Goblin, and with 4 mana, and in his end step, he like played Augur, hold 2 mana, and in my end step, he like cast down my Putrid Goblin, and that's very good for me because I can dispute, have more cards. I know my Putrid Goblin dying is not a problem for me because I have more Putrid Goblins. That's how goes the game. In my perspective, that's good for me. I don't know how was his perspective. So have to be patient against those decks that will probably have an angle of have more card advantage, have the combo. And sometimes I combo out of nothing because yeah. I have the feeling like if he had Snuff Out, he already used it on my cards.
Intuition? Your sense of what's going on in their hand?
No, it's not the thermometry. The Dark Dweller is like my... Let me check.
So that's like your remove, your check if you get the Dark Dweller going and the people don't kill it?
Yes, my check. Sometimes I search for Dark Dweller just to see, because Dark Dweller is very good by itself, right? You matron, you have access. The opponent have to kill the Dark Dweller because I can make card advantage of it by sacking other creatures like Pilfer, matron, second Putrid Goblin, second Skurk. Or even the first Putrid Goblin, because I have a map token, a nerf. So sometimes I use Dark Dweller as a check for his nerf out.
Hmm.
So that's very... I don't know if it's intuitive, but for who is playing.
Yeah, I mean, I was facing Dark Dweller and I declined to kill it, waiting for the... Because I only had like one Hydro in hand, so what do I do? Do I kill the Dark Dweller, or do I hope to hit the first day of class? And it's like... There's no good option.
So yeah, what are you saying? It happens to me a lot when I like the player has one Hydro Blast. I remember to okay, I untap it with Dark Dweller and Matron. Then I sack Matron and reveals a Duras. And I cast Duras, and in response he like Hydro Blast my Dark Dweller, and I thought, okay, he do that earlier, right? In my perspective, that I didn't have anything in hand, right? So I don't know what's the opponent's perspective in that. So it's kind of a chess math, right?
Yeah, and that goes into this deck is really confusing because it confuses me piloting and it confuses me playing against it. And then I'm just like, I'm so lost in the sauce that. That's why I think that Hamuda is like put on this pedestal of like this person is a golden. They have some sort of crazy ability to like it's like the GIF where the person's seeing all the numbers flying around and they're like become a genius. That's my perception of you playing the deck.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of games make I think training, right? A lot. I'm playing this deck since the beginning. I think I don't know if this player still play like Blue Stalker.
Remember him. They decided not to play Pauper anymore after the way the bans were being handled.
Me and him was the first one playing the deck and make some results. So he stopped playing and I remained playing with it. So I mastered the deck.
You're carrying the torch.
Yes, I'm carrying the torch. He made some good calls on the deck and I kind of improve, I think, some choices. He tried so many things and I think we're still learning, right? Because in like 2 years after, I discovered that Mesmeric Fiend is very good on the deck.
But yeah,
it's a lot of time. And it's the card was always there, right? So, but talking about the challenge, I said to you that I faced like many combos, right?
I think round three was Altertron versus Hampus.
Altertron against Rampus was kind of easy because the Altertron, in my opinion, that is a deck that mulligans a lot already.
Maybe. Because it depends. You have to have the heart of the cards.
Yeah, but against a faster combo, it might be the case, I think.
Yeah, it's basically just tried to get removal in play. But he said that he kept natural Tron with no colors and just didn't get there.
Yeah, that was the case. I saw his hand. It was like, okay, that might be very good for me, and it was. It's already a bad matchup for Altertron, and when you need to mulligan to interactive hands, I think it's harder for him.
Yeah, because you have to put together Tron and get the interaction.
Yeah, I think in the combo matchups, the best deck is Goblin combo because of the interactions, right? Not many combos in Pauper have interaction like Duras effect, I think, or counter effects. If you consider Fems, I think it's a combo in the end, and it's one of those that have interaction. That's why the deck's very good, I think, too.
Right.
And Goblins is alike. I don't know if it's harder or it's even in the level of how you have to manage the deck with Fems, with the familiars. I don't know, familiars still might be harder.
Maybe.
You already know how to play. Yeah, you already know how to play, right? So when I play Fems, at least in MTGO, I lose to time some games, and in real life, my brain like, okay, I'm tired of doing the same loop. Like, when you want to stall the game, I don't know. Those two decks for me is the best decks for combo, and I think the third one it's funny, but I think the fog, the deck is it's good. It really has some few bad matchups.
Yeah.
And Goblin is one of them.
For sure.
I don't remember if I face it. But I faced two in this challenge, Tire Roop, mm-hmm. Cycling Storm.
Did you just duress him out of the game then? Or did you speed under him? Like, how do you beat Cycling Storm?
I think I played a slow game with... Oh, the Bojuka Bog was good against him. I remember that I drew a Bojuka Bog and made him doing a bad heaping the graves to save like 3-4 creatures. But it was good. Having access to Red Elemental Blast against him is very good because he in the end he relies on a blue cards to combo. So he have Mystical Teachings and the Scab, the zombie.
Repository Scab.
Yeah, this one. And so Red Elemental Blast is very good against it. And we have Duras, Mesmeric Fiend. He has Duras too, I think, but he didn't draw many. And I think when you have the combo, you are faster than him too.
Yeah.
Might not be if his hand is he have a god hand. He has a god hand. But I think it's very hard for him. It's harder than a goblins to have it three pieces, I think. And I think Tairu plays a pattern like I always have the combo, because he played really like I'm gonna combo. If I didn't, I lose the game, and that's what happened in one game. Like he have the time, but he didn't want to wait, and kind of lost the game. But I understand, because we faced some challenge, and I recall to combo like turn three like two times against it, so it might be in his mind like this guy has always the combo.
Yeah.
So.
Sometimes. So how often? Well, sidetracking again. Let's say you were tapped out. You set up first day of class, and you had no extra mana, no black mana whatsoever. Is that usually a winning position? You're making infinite red. You have one preordained, basically, with an introduction to prophecy. Do you feel like you're confident that you can win from there, or is that a risky? Like, what's the?
So that's a thing that I say to players who want to learn more of the deck. Like, you don't go off if you have time to.
Yep, that's a classic combo thing. Like, you want to wait as long as possible, because the more cards you see, the more likely you are to succeed. That's sort of a storm thing that I've seen. But yeah, you know, sometimes you just have to go for it. I got it.
Yeah, sometimes you have to go for it. Like, you know, your opponent gonna kill you in the following turn, or have high chances of drawing interaction spell, so you have to go. And to be honest, like one preordain most of the time is not enough for winning, and especially when you already, like in the game, you already doing some matrons. That's the easiest way to win the game. Like, you already play two matrons in your game, so you have two less winning card.
Right, because as soon as you hit a matron, you just matron for Dark Dweller, and then you win.
Yeah. So if it's in the like you drew 30 cards of your deck and you didn't see any matron and anything of your deck, probably you will see one of those cards like Makeshifting, Dark Dweller, matron with only red mana, of course. But if you have access to black, it's a lot easier, because multiple disputes are good, and that's when Pilferer shines. Because if you have your early game with Pilfer, he probably is in your graveyard, and he's your black mana, right? Your access to black mana. So make you more comfortable to, I don't know if the word is all in. I don't know if it's all in. But it's very comfortable to go off. I think if you have a chance to wait, you always wait. Especially when you have like you Duras your opponent, you Mesmeric Fiend your opponent, and you know how many turns you have, right? You have you you like have interaction to his interaction, so you can wait. So most of the part that what I try to do. Like sometimes I get punished, especially against, I don't know why, people who play Relic. Out of nowhere, I see his hand. He doesn't have Relic, but he draws Relic with, I don't know, he draws. And
yep,
I have to wait. And I have to wait more to get some upgrade or the second Putrid Goblin to play around the Relic. So general, I try to wait. And I think that this is really well explained in those replays. The idea of the replays, because I don't have so much space in the cloud, I try to make so without voice, I just play the replay and try to with the mouse course,
right,
try to
explain, just like show pointing around.
Yes, pointing around. But I think it's enough to explain the things, how to play, and like there is 15 videos already, and kind of all of them are different games.
That's
some
awesome.
Some are kind of the same, but generally they are different, and it's really, the most of them, they are really well navigated. Sometimes when I see replays, I thought, why didn't I combo before? I can see some misplay. It's not 100% well played, but that's something. Even the guy, if it's the player, if he's seeing, he can notice. And if he noticed, it's better for him because he's getting some knowledge, right? He's getting.
Yeah.
Even in the stream I played like Tuesday, I think. I played in the League of Magic with the deck. And the first game against Blue Black Face, it was really well. I think it was really well played, and it shows many play patterns that helped me win the game. It was like a match of 40 minutes, so many things happened in the game. So I think it can show a lot of how you can play against Blue Black Face.
Nice.
If someone wants.
And are you adding that to your things that are listed?
I'm trying to. Yeah, I was doing the thing, but I don't know why I use Microsoft Clipchamp that is very easy to use, but I don't know why I can upload. It's bugged right now. I don't know. I will try again. I didn't end talking about the challenge because I kind of forgot so much.
That's okay.
Do you remember
what the topic was like?
Oh, I remember I tried to split the finals, right? We grinders always try to like split the final, get the value for both players. But this time the player didn't want to, so. And it was a match that some players think it's bad, but I don't think it's that bad. That is walls combo.
Well, you can generally go faster than them, I would imagine. And you have Duress and Mesmeric Fiend to stop them, right?
I think Mesmeric Fiend is the clutch play, like you Mesmeric Fiend a combo piece of them is very important. I don't think Duras is very good because they have they have low count of non-creature spells, I think. I usually don't use Duras
Even I guess, on the yeah, they don't. Curious. But they have all their draw spells, I guess, that are. And that was the finals, was Walls combo?
Yes, against Terminus, I think he usually play false combo. Mm. And
then he just, did he respond and say, no splits, I'm going to win?
I think he responded like, nah, let's play. And okay, hey, let's play.
Fair enough.
Also,
so when is your next top 8? Tomorrow?
I hope it's tomorrow. I want to play it again. I think people, it's very, I think people add more cards in general, like not against the goblins, but cards that is very good. That's a pauper thing. You need to use a card that's good against multiple decks, right?
Right, because there's not a lot of sideboard space.
Yeah, and more than I see, like, oh, a guy is playing like 4 relics, and sometimes I can still win, shows me that the deck is very resilient, right? So that's a very good thing of a combo deck. Not many combo decks in Pauper are that resilient, I think. Like, if you're playing, I don't know, Dredge, it's a easy one to respond. Like, if someone is playing 4 relics, your life will be hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or that's what happened with Affinity.
What happens?
People were playing,
let's say,
4 dust to dust.
Yeah. I have a question about relic all of a sudden. So let's say someone has an onboard relic and you play first day of class. Let's say you had, or like, what if they crack it in response to the putrid, and then can you just like, can you go off and draw your deck from there? I guess there's probably a couple of times that you could go off through the relic, or do you usually just draw into the abrade or like duplicate of stuff?
The way to play around relic is having access to removal, the simplest one. But you can always combo with the second putrid goblin, right? Because if they don't go to graveyard at the same time, so you can putrid goblin. Not always, you are not always playing this way, but I'm gonna tell a scenario. Like, you have the 2 putrid goblin and a skirt and one mana. You go sack the putrid goblin, tap this mana, first day of class. Or he tried to crack, okay? He tried to crack the relic in response to your first day of class. If he draws a lightning bolt, that might be bad, because then he can lightning bolt, or I don't know, do some stuff with your second putrid goblin after he pops the relic and exile your first putrid goblin. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The right way I try to do is, if you have 2 putrid goblin and a skirt, you try to, if you have access to this mana, of course. And I try to go to this scenario that I play first day of class without sacking any putrid goblin. Because when I have first day of class going off, you sack your first putrid goblin, he have to crack the relic. And in response with the second one, you can add infinite mana. So you try to minimize his chances of drawing an interactive spell.
Oh, right. Because then you have infinite mana, he bolts a skirk, it's fine. You just start drawing through your deck, hopefully, from there.
Yeah, so, of course, this is a scenario when he has the second mana to interact. Like, he goes with 2 untapped mana. If he goes with 1 untapped mana only for relic, it's easier. But if the player goes with 2 untapped mana...
So how much mana would you try to make at that point?
In MTGO, I always try to go 30 or more.
Mm-hmm. And how much life would somebody have in order for you to scoop because you can't complete the match in time?
This didn't happen to me.
No. Like what if I had Alter Tron and I was looping and I had Weather the Storm in hand? Like technically in paper you could beat Weather the Storm. But if I go for like 300 life, do you think you can beat that?
Oh no, yeah, I have to scoop.
So what do you think is like the edge case?
Like if I have to kill with makeshift munition, probably 50, 60, I have to scoop. 50, 60, I have to scoop. But if I can play all my creatures, I think I wouldn't scoop because you can just attack F6, and try to just attack. Like you lose like 5 minutes doing some 4-4s, 5-5s, try to hit for 30 or more. Of course, you know, if your opponent like has zero cards in hand, or you know that he don't have any interaction with a bunch of 5-5s or 4-4s, you have to see that. And that's funny.
It seems
as
like...
I said, there's a lot of scenarios in this matter because you can do some math. Even when players like, I remember a guy with the Ephemerate, Jeskai Ephemerate. He killed my makeshift munition, and he did Murmuring Mystic. And I thought, okay, this Murmuring Mystic will be very bad. And he made some blockers, and I still managed to win because of this. Like, I have a lot of 5-5.
Yeah.
You can't deal with that, I think. Even if you're... And that's good in the MTGO. Even if you're looping with your... If you're Archaeomancer, I think I have a better chances to winning by time because he will start to lose time. He's already playing a slow deck.
Yeah, the time fight is crazy.
Yeah, and I probably lost my time just for the combo. So I have to try to get his time to get... I have to make him spend time. So it's another game, right? It's another pseudo game in the Magic MTGO Magic, right? And that happens a lot. People like blue against fog. That already happened to me too. I think he gets some fog players let me combo and
just go try for it to the last second.
Try to counter. Yeah, just try to counter the makeshift or. Yeah, he tried to counter the makeshift, so he has ways to perma fog me.
Right.
Especially game one, that they have access to all fog, I think. And yeah, against fog, you have to see his hand because if he have Weather the Storm in hand, you can't go off, right? Because you are doing so much stuff sometimes,
right?
Like if you combo and your next play is already makeshift munition, okay, Weather the Storm is not a problem. But if you have to seek the makeshift munition, it's very bad in MTGO because they can just gain a bunch of life. That's a way of trying to win the game. I don't know if it's very effective in many matches. I think if you go for I don't know if you make how can I say, if you analyze many matches, how many times Weather the Storm will be the way to win in MTGO, right?
Well, I know.
I don't know.
I was talking to Teasdale, and he said that he was playing against Dredge, and the opponent went for like 80 life with Gnaw of the Bone, and he couldn't beat it. So I was just wondering.
Which player? Sorry,
Andrew Teasdale.
And he was playing Goblins.
Yeah, just today.
Oh, and he didn't have the chance to beat him, like,
because the Dredge player had 80 something life.
I think you might see if it's possible to try to kill him with your creatures, right?
Right.
Not only with makeshift munition, but it's a scenario you have to check. You have to analyze the situation overall, I think.
It sounds like the best way to get good at this deck is to go and find your replays from the sideboard guide and learn the different situations, because otherwise you're going to be throwing yourself in those and having to figure it out behind. So that seems like the best
plan.
And in
MTGO, you have not much time to think, right? Because and that happens a lot with new players with the deck. If your opponent sees that you are playing slow with the deck,
they will
usually
jump on you 100%.
They will let you combo all the way, so you lose to time. A guy that bought the guide made a 4-1. He said, I'm glad I made a 4-1. The guide helped me a lot. And the one I lost was by time. He said, my opponent let me combo and I couldn't go faster, right?
Right.
And I think it was you that made the tips, right? Yeah.
The major tips for going faster on Magic Online. The first is you need to restart often because there's a memory leak with triggers. So if you're playing multiple matches, just check the process usage with Task Manager and your machine and make sure it's not getting high. And then you want to use like hotkeys for OK, yes and no. And that, because that's when you're like mousing around and clicking OK over and over again, that's just a huge time sink. And then you want to turn off the animations for summoning sickness, for foils, and then especially the in-game animations, which are where you see the cards like float around between actions. Because if those are not happening, it saves you, you know, once again, like 20% of the clock, that usage. Because those are just, especially when you're doing a lot of actions, it just like wastes everything. So those are the things that I do, and it makes a big difference.
And the goblin, there is one more that is really funny, because is the distance between Skirk and Putrid Goblin.
Yeah.
Because
mousing across the screen, if you don't have to mouse very far, your accuracy is a lot higher. And I kind of learned that from StarCraft. But if you're like, if your Skirk is on one side and you've got like six goblins in play, and then you have to go to the other side to click the Putrid, that's a big problem. And the other thing is, like, I noticed the one time that I played goblins was like, you don't want to put too many goblins on the table, because sometimes everything like reorders, and that will throw you off as well. You have to make sure you're always clicking on the same one. I noticed that on Magic Online with Altertron, because it remembers, like, it orders them based on who came into the battlefield first. So if you're like unearthing something that was on the battlefield before those things, then it might throw off your order as well.
Oh, I didn't know about the nerf, but I know that I didn't know that. That's good to know that a nerf do that.
Well, you're sometime like clicking the mirror retrievers. If there's like a golem on the field, like let's say your mirror retrievers on the right of the golem, and then you're like clicking through them and looping, then all of a sudden one's on the left of it. It's like, because that one was originally on the table before the other one, before the golem was, and it's like gets really confused.
Yeah. I know that Putrid Goblin goes always to the right.
Oh,
when
and then
you sack.
So the last thing
always goes to the right.
Is, especially if you're playing this deck, is to pop out your graveyard so it's like the column mode. Because if it's not in that, it's going to keep flashing back and forth, and that like totally throws off your rhythm.
Oh, them as the mirror retriever, right?
Also for goblins. Well, right? You're not going back in, yeah, for Altertron. I guess goblins, you don't really need that because you're not going in and out of a graveyard. Static.
Yeah, no, goblin is a static trigger, right? It's persist. You don't have to click it. It get back by itself, I think.
Yeah, but, that's just like min-maxing it all.
You can maximize but the goblins. If you have already makeshift munition, you can sack the between goblins, between Skurk and Putrid Goblin.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
You can sack them, and you can just, your click is very near, right?
That's similar to with familiars. If you're going off and you're winning the game, you want to get rid of all of your faithfuls, bounce them off the table so they don't have triggers. Because triggers lag the system.
I already saw you doing that. I think one game I saw you doing this because you said, "Oh, I'm gonna lose many time by the trigger," and you bounce first your own creatures, right? Yeah, that's a good tip too, right?
It's really crazy with if you have Murmuring Mystic and Faithful in play because you not only have three triggers going, you also have to order the triggers every single time. It's just nutso. So you have to be very careful.
You have to know MTGO. You have to know how to play Magic and the program, right?
Yeah. If anybody plays the decks that I play and they want to know how to optimize the clicking, then just get in touch because I've definitely had to deal with that. Oh, that's funny. One of my favorite memories—I guess not a favorite, but one of my memories of doing the craziest was with Sanctuary Familiars, where I had to like loop using Mystic Sanctuary and Seagate Oracle to find my Moldrifter, and then I had to re-loop through the entire deck until I got back to the Moldrifter and order it in a different way so that I could draw the Moldrifter before the flicker and then go off. Man, it was hard. It was like a 15-minute loop.
Oh, no.
And then sometimes with Altertron, I have a stream of thought in the sideboard to beat Weather the Storm, because I can't beat Weather the Storm if I'm trying to make golems an attack. It's just like... too much, but I have,
because the weather the storm counters the
basically
counters one attack, right?
Right, but
or
it's terrible. I don't like know. Versus fog or versus Fangren Marauder, like it can't beat Fangren Marauder, really. Just like destroys my clock. So I have stream of thought. but that also you have to make six mana for four cards, and you have to click the mana through Energy Refractor. So it's like, if I know that it's a Stream of Thought matchup like Gardens, I want to win the first game in like 3 minutes so that I have 22 minutes to actually finish game two.
Oh, that's
fair. I was going off versus a Gardens player, and I'm like almost there, and they're like, "I have Weather the Storm in hand," and then I Stream of Thought them, and I go, "I know."
This thing I don't like about
Mad Magic Online.
That's very bad because if you're in competitive, I try always to concede. I know I can try to win by time, but I don't know. It's a gentleman agree. How can I say it?
It's honorable to concede, but you don't have to. Nothing's requiring you to, and you should never ever consider that your opponent's going to concede. If they do concede, I always say, "Thank you, that was very kind of you. I really appreciate that." If they don't concede, it's just the way it is. You're just like, "I really appreciate
but when
you."
When I play combo, I have this code with me. If a player, I know the player will lose by time if I try, I don't do that. I concede because I know I'm playing a combo that requires sometimes a lot of clicks and hurt, and sometimes even hurt your wrist.
Playing Altertron, my wrist starts tingling.
Yes.
I actually was playing in a prelim, and I faced a familiars player, and I had infinite golems, and they said, "Well, on my turn, I'm going to make infinite life." So they're like, "You're going to have to do it to time." And I was like, my laptop wasn't plugged in. I was like far away from the Wi-Fi. I was using my touchpad. And I'm like, this is really making me angry. Like a player I knew. I was like, "Why are you doing this to me, man?" They're like, "Well, it's a prelim." So I was like, okay. And I ended up winning that match. And I said, "Okay, well, you're going to feel really silly when I still win the match." Because I started game two with 8 minutes on clock and won with 3 minutes on clock. Like, I'm still gonna win. There's like the meme from Batman where it's like, I was born in the darkness. It's like, I was born with a timer.
Yes, I was born with. I think I won a game with like 4 minutes in the clock. I think I combo like turn three. And the only way was like comboing the 3-4 first turns. And I didn't try to go all the combo. I think I made a matron, dark dweller, F6 attack, and that was it. Like, this was the way to win the game. I didn't try to do anything.
Nice.
Right. So that's important. I think that's another level of mastering the deck in the MTGO. It's how to win the game with a low clock.
Yeah.
You probably know to do that with some decks. And that's, I think it's by playing a lot of Magic Online.
Yeah, you get used to finding, basically always with these kinds of decks that take a long time, you have to be thinking, what is my fastest possible path to victory? That's why, like, when I play Altatron, I just make 30 power and golems and I attack. I'm not trying to ping you out with makeshift munitions every game. That's just going to destroy my clock. It's like a 15-minute thing again. But, you know, here, that is a thing you can do if you have the opportunity. And sometimes you have to. So you're always just, like, looking for what's my best possible case thing to be doing.
Yeah, and that happens with goblins, too. Usually the faster way to win the game is by making a bunch of big creatures, because if you don't have makeshift very early in your exile effect of Dark Dweller or draws, you probably you don't know when you're gonna draw the makeshift or reveals with his ability.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier to make big creatures and beat your opponent. Usually the main win cone you lose more time, right? You lose more time in the main way. At least in both decks are makeshift, I think.
Yeah.
In Altatron, yeah, and then takes a lot of time, right?
Well, you have to, for Altatron makeshift munitions, you have to, it's extremely painful because for three golems that you make, that's two damage because you sacrifice a golem and ping with two golems, which means that you have to do 9 loops to make for 2 damage. It's essentially, not doable.
So oh, yeah.
If they're at 20 life, that's 180 loops.
It is a deck that is clearly better in real life.
Yeah, I mean, I said this before with Mystic Fams and Altatron. That is entirely true. Like, you can just win on turn 5. Like, if I'm playing Altatron, it's a 3-hour league. And if I play in paper, it takes me 15 minutes to do the whole event. Like,
yeah.
In one way, it's better. But in another way, you're like, you know, you need that dopamine from fighting the clock.
Yeah, the dopamine of revealing cards. Yeah, the same thing for my deck. I played like 3 weeks ago in my local store, and I announced like, oh, I'm doing first day of class, revealing matron. And the guy, okay, GG. And it's different from MTGO. Sometimes the guy make you do the stuff and you fighting the clock, oh, I have to reveal this card. So.
It's
the
funny.
Dopamine of the clock, yeah. Revealing cards are funnier than just announce that you won the game, right?
Yeah. I think I'm gonna start wrapping it up. Before we do that, I don't know if we went over what your favorite card of all time is. Want to give us that?
My favorite card of all time. Oh, that's a hard one because I have so many.
You can narrow it down to Pauper if you want, since you play all these other formats.
Yeah, in Pauper for me, probably Deadly Dispute.
Mm.
In Pauper, probably.
It was pretty weird when black became the best card draw. And now it's red and black are the best card draw, and blue is kind of like, what about me, guys? But it's cool.
Oh, we still have Lorien.
No, that's true, that's true. Lorien Revealed came, and now it's even again.
It's slower, but very, very good. A land that can draw three cards is very good.
Nice. And Deadly Dispute's just mana fixing and synergy and instant speed. It's awesome.
I have doubts about... I know Dispute is easily better than other disputes, but... as I'm playing the deck, I find the map very, very good. Very, like, he do some very good stuff in the deck, revealing a card, resetting the Putrid Goblin. Sometimes I miss the map token more than the treasure token, you know.
Nice.
And that is a thing to test, right? I don't think I have the courage to cut this Deadly Dispute for Fanatical Offering. But the map, it's tempts me to have more. You have like a pseudo unearth effect in a draw spell, right? When you are trying to go off. When you have like Kraken Shaman, you can map your Kraken Shaman so you can kill one toughness creatures and don't lose your guy. You can draw lands if you have if you're lucky, or put it on the graveyard. So I'm really impressed with the map token overall, and when I play the card. And I still swap one for Faithless Looting because the format is very fast, and I don't think we have time for so many dispute effects. So, and one mana, it's different, right? One mana,
right?
It's easy to do with all your other cards.
And it also helps if you have infinite red mana. You can use Faithless Looting and you can't cast your black spells. That makes sense.
Yeah. And we have Demand Answers, but I didn't like that much. You can't sack your creatures, and that's important.
You can Highway Robbery and sacrifice your lands during the combo turn.
Oh, yeah, we have Highway Robbery now. Yeah, I didn't test this card. It might be better because you can not foretell. You can, I forgot, plot. You can plot.
Plot, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that card, this one I didn't test yet. It might be very good against counter decks, right? Actually better than Demander Answers, I don't know.
Probably in the deck. It's being able to sacrifice a land and draw two, or loot, sort of.
Yeah, but the main reason I think the Fanatic Offering is better is because of the map token. It can counter many removal spells, especially when your opponent is trying to kill your Putrid Goblin. They might always go for the Putrid Goblin because it's harder to have access to the black mana, right?
Yeah.
And the map token can do some stuff on that matter. That's it, I think.
Nice. Well, I really appreciate you.
Buy the sideboard.
Yeah.
I think if you want to buy the sideboard, it will help even more.
Yeah, maybe I'll be able to do that, and then I'll have a good showing this time. Last time I tried Goblins, it was a kind of weak, so I'll have to practice if I want to do that again. And I really appreciate you coming on. It took us a while to schedule all this. I've been pretty busy, but hopefully I'll be putting out some more episodes as well, and we'll get that going and try to get more expertise out there for the Pauper fans.
I will wait the Goblins League after that. I will wait. See if it at least get a bit easier to play with it and not against it.
Yeah.
Or both, right? Or both. If it get easier to play against and with.
Yeah, know your enemy. All right. Thank you very much. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys.